Sedano and LZ with you here on 710 ESPN. Thanks to Mama Momo for hanging out. Thanks to Aqib Talib, who joined us earlier, fresh off retirement. Mm-hmm. And if you missed any part of the show, subscribe to the Sedano and LZ podcast on the ESPN app, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google, wherever you find your podcast. All even at 104 between Boston and Toronto in overtime, 132 to go. Norman Powell hit a big three to tie the game, and looks like he may go to the free throw line now to give Toronto the lead. UCLA's own Greg Bergman.
I love me some Norman Powell. He is great.
I never thought he'd be this good in the league, though.
He always had it. He showed flashes of it, and you'd watch him. He was kind of like Russell Westbrook at UCLA, where the things that he did, you're just like, wow, he's got so much talent and athleticism. And it just happens at UCLA all the time. You go pro, and all of a sudden you get way better.
It sounds like you're bitter based off that way you said that.
It's usually the way that it goes, especially when Steve Alford was your coach for a little bit.
Yeah. Is this based off Aaron Aflalo trying to buy a team? Is this
I did see that. I have some Aflalo up questions there. How is he going to buy a team again?
Did you just say Aflalo up questions?
He did. No, it was very cleverly done. Don't point it out, Greg. Just let it sit there and simmer.
Sorry.
He's going to be with a bunch of people. And I haven't been keeping up. I haven't been following him, so I don't know what kind of financial investments he's made. I don't know if he's quietly, like a hedge fund guy now. I don't know.
He might be. You never know. He could have invested very well. He made a lot of money in the league.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
He was a good player.
Derek Jeter is an owner with the Marlins, and he only invested $5 million. And he's running the team, so you never know.
We call that an okey-doke in the business.
Yeah. Laura says only $5 million for a baseball team. It cost $1.2
billion. I know, but, us non-millionaire people, that's a lot.
None of us. I'm not a millionaire either, but I'm just saying that if you look at what it costs to buy the team, $1.2 billion, he only put in $5 million. He's running the damn thing, and he calls himself an owner.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what happens when, you're the – toast of New York for so long, right? Everybody wants a piece of you.
He literally said, I got $5 on it, except it was $1 million, but still, it felt like, it's just I don't know, $5 for the rest of us.
It only costs $5 million to buy a team, Laura, half of Wu-Tang Clan would own the NFL or something like that.
That's true. You're not wrong.
Oh, man. So 106-104 Toronto, 19.6 seconds left. We'll keep you up to date on what's going on there. LZ, with the Lakers and Rockets, so we're going to expect some sort of adjustment here. What do you think Mike D'Antoni will do here? Does he just say the hell with it and goes even smaller and just tightens the rotation even further? Because, I guess he could go six men, right, in this situation, because there's not – he's got Austin off the bench, and who else am I missing? I guess Daniel House, right, is part of that. Ben McLemore. I could see him going six or seven guys potentially against the Lakers, though I don't know if that's the right thing to do if you're them.
Well, the thing that's been consistent in terms of a key to the Lakers' success has been the doubling of James Harden.
Yeah.
So if I'm Mike, I'm looking at ways to get James the ball on the move.
Right. So that means you got to put the ball in Russ's hands.
Put the ball in Russ's hands and get James to come off some screens.
Yeah.
And get the ball in his hands in scoring positions on the move. Make it difficult for the defense to kind of zone in on him, if you will.
Yeah.
And I would also, honestly, I would James Harden LeBron James. I would double him.
Just say anybody but him.
Anybody but him, including AD. Because when LeBron has the ball in his hands, the entire team is at his mercy. If you can get it out of his hands, at least only AD's guy who's guarding him is at his mercy. It's not the entire team, right?
Yeah.
Those would be the adjustments I would make if I was Mike D'Antoni. But Mike doesn't prove to have been one to make really good adjustments. It's in watching him over the years, he just believes what he does works if we do it right in terms of execution.
Yeah.
So my guess is that he probably thinks it's an execution issue more so than a game plan or scheme issue. I think it's a scheme issue, but, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll have to see. You're right. He's a bit stubborn historically. And I know I've been in those situations where I've had to ask him about something in game, and he can get a little snarky.
Yep.
he's generally a nice man, but in those situations, he can get a little snippy.
Well, he doesn't want you calling him out on his ish on national TV, George. That's basically.
I know, but sometimes that's the job. You know what I mean? It ain't easy. I mean, yo, I don't want to do it, but it's like, yo, dog, you leave me no choice.
Yo, Mike, LeBron just dropped 30 in your head in 15 minutes. You think you want to double him? How dare you, George Sedano, ask me a question like that?
Yeah, he just – I like when he rolls – he'll roll his eyes at me and stuff. I do. I – it's funny because low-key Pop gets a lot of grief for those interviews. And look, yeah. Pop is – he don't like
playing
to do them. And he, but he's
playing
definitely,
on it.
He's yeah. leaning in for sure. Yeah. But Mike is just gets – Mike – we forget Mike D'Antoni is almost 70 years old, okay?
Right.
He just doesn't got time for this. He's like, you know what? You're not me. You shouldn't be questioning me. But he just does it in a slightly more flip. He does it in a flippant way, which doesn't come across mean, is what
right.
I would say.
I credit his accent.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh yeah, it's so disarming. Yes,
it's very
no
very
question.
Disarming. He's undressing you, but because of the accent, it sounds as if you know he's complimenting you. It's yeah. like you know dealing with someone with like a British accent.
Yes.
Know? They sound brilliant even though they're saying something stupid. You really
correct.
Have to read what they're saying because if you just listen to them, it's like going, oh, my God, he's so smart.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. So if you're Vogel, do you just – you keep – you know, Ramona kind of made a funny joke about the Lakers realized they were bigger than them and just taller than them. Do you just keep hammering this thing? Do you even play JaVale McGee?
I wouldn't. I would just tell him and Dwight, like, listen, you guys know what it is. You're veterans. You're smart. JaVale, you won championships
yeah.
playing this way. Mm-hmm. We need to do what's best for us in terms of success and not in terms of your feelings. So JaVale would get it just like Dwight has gotten it.
Yeah.
I would start Morris, and I would keep it moving.
Laker boy, you like Markieff Morris to start?
I actually like the way that they're playing Markieff right now. I would still start JaVale to at the beginning of the game, but in the second half, I would definitely go with Morris. I want to see what you can do with having that height out there with JaVale at the beginning, but then once if it's not working, like it hasn't been for the first three games, then I would go to Morris.
So yeah. you got three games in, it's not working, and your solution is to try
again?
Mike D'Antoni radio?
No, I still believe because that's the way that they like to start games, and sometimes they start slow, but it doesn't matter. Like, they still have that. If you can get it to work, because it's open. That
right,
lob dunk is open all the time.
All right, so here's what I'm going to need then. You know, because you're not 1,000% wrong, but this is what I'm going to need.
You're just 999%
right,
wrong.
Right.
If JaVale
opinion.
Was looking at the basket, then I would love him to start. But what's happening is that he is so quick to defer to LeBron and AD on offense that he's literally being guarded by, like, I don't know, Eric Gordon, for instance, right? Who he's like a solid foot taller than. And instead of diving into the basket and trying to post it right at the rim where he can get an easy pass and layup, he's actually floating out in the perimeter somewhere, clearing space for LeBron. And I'm like, well, listen, if you're not going to play to your advantage, then you shouldn't play. Your advantage is your height. You have a point guard or a shooting guard on you. If you're not going to take that little man into the basket and dunk on him, why are you out there? So that's the only reason why I'm like, you know, start Markieff Morris because at least I know he's going to be offensive minded. I can't have JaVale out there not being very effective on the defensive end and a non-factor on the offensive end. It's a waste of roster spots and minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, I see what you're saying. But I still like to see what he can do defensively, especially with James Harden, like cutting through two guys and getting to the basket untouched over and over again, where if you have JaVale over there on the other side of the block, like LeBron was, and coming across and getting a block there or disrupting the shot, it's there for him. So if he can actually do those things, then I think you can see he's only in for 5 minutes in the first half anyway. Like let's see what he got for those 5 minutes. If it's not working, take him out, get him out of there.
I'd rather those minutes go to J.R. Smith.
Oh, no.
J.R.'s in street clothes. Him and Dion.
Yeah, we don't need to see any more J.R. Smith. We've seen enough J.R. Smith.
I want to see what he got.
He was in the last game, and you saw him get blown by multiple times.
It happens. He was getting blown by James Harden, who's like led the league in scoring the last 20 years. So, whatever. I'm not going to ridicule him because one of the greatest scorers to ever pick up a basketball scored on him.
Right, but what else is he doing? He's not a very good defender. He's not hitting threes. Then he has no use.
Yeah, he just looks out of McGee. You know what he looks like? He looks like a guy who hasn't played basketball in 18 months.
Right.
That's what it is. That's what he looks like.
All right.
Break glass in case of emergency.
All right. Wait, what's Wait, who just won? I wasn't paying attention.
No, double overtime.
Oh, hell.
Yeah, double overtime. Hell. Between the Celtics and Raptors, so nobody has won yet. We got another 5 minutes of free basketball.
Nobody wants to play the Lakers. They'd rather just keep playing overtimes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Assuming, of course, that the Lakers, you know, finish the job. And I'm feeling really bullish about facing the Clippers for some reason. I just feel like the Lakers have been playing better in the bubble, and that they figured out something that works. You know, we've been waiting for a consistent third scorer, and they've been winning by just having a rotisserie of scorers.
LZ, if you've got fantasy football questions, line it up. 877-710-ESPN. Our buddy Jamie Eisenberg, CBS Sports fantasy football expert, is going to join us. We will chat with him for a few minutes. So if you want to get in, 877-710-ESPN, or tweet us at Sedano for myself, at LZ Granderson for LZ, and we will pass along the questions.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Sedano and LZ with you here on 710 ESPN. 30 minutes to go. The LAFC will be in action tonight. We will have that for you immediately following the show. No crosstalk, no Scott Kaplan show tonight. As I mentioned, if you want to hop aboard, you got fantasy football questions, you can do so by dialing 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. You can tweet us at Sedano, at LZ Granderson, or you can tweet our next guest, Jamie Eisenberg, CBS Sports fantasy football expert. You can tweet him at Jamie Eisenberg. Jamie, thank you for stopping by, brother. Good to talk to you again. Let me ask you this.
Good to talk to you as well.
Yes, sir. So Mike Evans, questionable. If he doesn't play, what do you do? Where do you go there for points if you are trying to find the receiver hole with the Bucks? Or fill a receiver hole in the Bucks. Sorry.
I mean, obviously, you're not going to replace somebody of his caliber at this juncture, but there are some guys that could be available on the waiver wire that have some interesting matchups if they're still maybe undrafted. Anthony Miller would be the first guy probably going for, the third-year receiver for the Bears. He beat up the Lions in the last season last year, and he's going to have a big role this year. He's probably on the high end of guys that may be available. But then I look at maybe some of the rookie wide receivers. Laviska Shenault for the Jaguars. I like the setup for him. In that same game, Paris Campbell, second-year wide receiver for the Colts. He could have a good opportunity. Van Jefferson's been making some nice headlines for the Rams. You know, that game could be a shootout with the Cowboys. You know, it's slim pickings when you get to this point. And if you're just looking for maybe a guy in the Bucks to get a piece of that game, Scott Miller's had a nice training camp. And he would get elevated, you know, as the second receiver opposite Chris Godwin. But that secondary for the Saints is no joke. And Mike Evans is going to have a hard time making plays. So I don't know if I'd want to go the Bucks route. But the first guy I'd look for is Anthony Miller and maybe Paris Campbell and Laviska Shenault.
Let me ask you this about the Bucks, because Brady, if you look at the numbers week four and beyond, and granted, different team, different weapons, I get all that, different coach, different system. But his stats equaled that of Mitchell Trubisky from week four through week 17 last year. What can we expect from Brady? Like, what is the expectation for Tom Brady from a fantasy standpoint?
I'll reference it to a coach player scenario. So Clyde Edwards-Helaire goes to the Chiefs. All of a sudden, we're telling you to draft him as a first round pick. It's not so much Edwards-Helaire as it is Andy Reid and what he does for his running back. In this case, while Tom Brady is the GOAT from an NFL perspective, and he's in the conversation of the Mount Rushmore for fantasy quarterbacks, this is about Bruce Arians. And so Arians getting Tom Brady with those wide receivers in the system puts him back in the conversation as a number one fantasy quarterback. So, you know, you got to buy in a little bit to a 43-year-old guy and you know, changing teams in an offseason that was non-existent with no preseason, so you don't have any chance to see what it actually looks like aside from a few videos that were tweeted from practice. But I think, you know, the hope would be is that Jameis Winston got 5,030 out of that offense. Tom Brady could probably get 4,400, 4,500 and 28 to 30 as well. So So that's what you're hoping for. But, you know, if Mike Evans is going to miss some time, that's not going to be a good situation because Chris Godwin and Rob Gronkowski, even at 31 years old, aren't going to get it done.
You know, Brady aside, and obviously he's in a new spot, but there are a lot of new quarterbacks in new places. Can you give us one QB in a new spot we should avoid and one QB in a new spot we should be looking at?
The one I would avoid, you know, you're going to chase the name of Philip Rivers, who's been, you know, good for many, many years. And last year was obviously disappointing, which is why the Chargers have moved on. The offensive line is fantastic for the Colts, and he steps into the situation with, you know, very good weapons around him if T.Y. Hilton is healthy and, you know, Paris Campbell, Michael Pittman. But I think we saw the MO of that team last year. They're going to run the ball. The addition of Jonathan Taylor, I think, is going to be significant. So Rivers will have some good moments. I think this week will be one against the Jaguars, but I don't want to buy into him as a guy that I could trust from a fantasy perspective. And then I'll take the guy who's replacing him as a new guy. You know, I know he's not changing teams, but he's been a starter, and that's Tyrod Taylor. You know, a guy who has had some good moments. You know, we like quarterbacks who run, and so the opportunity for him to, you know, step into this situation, I'd like to see a healthy Mike Williams along with it. But Keenan Allen, Hunter Henry, two new offensive linemen. Austin Eckler is a great weapon out of basketball. So I'm cheating a little bit because he didn't switch teams, but, you know, he's getting a chance to start for the first time in 2 years. And, you know, I think this scenario will go better than the last time when he was replaced by Baker Mayfield in Cleveland.
Jamie Eisenberg, CBS Sports Fantasy Football Expert, with us here on Sedano and LZ on 710 ESPN. You could tell I've been out of practice. The first question has always traditionally been, Jamie Eisenberg, tell me your start of the week and your sit-em of the week.
Yeah, no more sit of the week, but I'll give you a guy to avoid. It's Amari Cooper. Jalen Ramsey locked him up last year in week 15, and I think it's going to be tough for Cooper again. He's healthy, thankfully, with that, I guess, hamstring injury that was bothering him, kept him out of practice. But I don't want to trust him with, you know, Dak Prescott having other ways to go. With CeeDee Lamb, Michael Gallup, Blake Jarwin, I think Ramsey's going to take away Cooper. It's going to be tough for him. But the start of the week is Josh Allen. I think we're going to see a guy come into his own as a passer. He was very good as a rusher the last couple of years. But the addition of Stephon Diggs is going to be big. Great matchup against the Jets. And I think he's going to take apart that defense at home as the Bills try to establish themselves as the best team in the AFC.
Talking about defenses for a little bit, when you're looking from week to week, I don't mean just this week, but week to week, outside of opponent, what's the biggest factor you have in terms of determining who you're going to start defensively as a team's defense?
You know, I think you look for, you know, offensive line weaknesses, whether it's injuries or just a unit that's been struggling. You know, in some cases, some inconsistent performances. You know, you look for obviously a quarterback that could potentially have some turnover, you know, potential. That's always, you know, going to be big. And I think the biggest thing with fantasy, I think that people overlook, and it's not just defenses, but it factors in, is I always go to the Vegas total. You know, so if Vegas is telling you that the game's going to be low scoring, it probably does because the defenses are going to play a part. So in the case of Josh Allen tied in, the one drawback I do have is that the over-under for the Jets-Bills game is low, but I think that has a lot to do with the Jets' offense more so than it does the Bills. So you have to obviously pick it apart a little bit. But when you see a low over-under, you know that it's not going to be a high-scoring affair. Conversely, a defense that I would avoid this week in particular is the Rams. And we know that they have great players with Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey and, you know, traditionally a good system. I know it's a different coordinator this year without Wade Phillips, but that over-under between the Cowboys and the Rams is, you know, north of 50. I'm going to stay away from the Rams defense this week.
Jamie Eisenberg, CBS Sports Fantasy Football Expert with us here. Let's go to the phones, 877-710-ESPN if you want to hop aboard. If you have a question, we'll sneak in a couple here real quick. Carl in L.A. Carl is gone. Sorry about that. Jamie, I have a question here real quick.
Sure.
In regards to drafts, what was the biggest surprise that you guys saw at CBS Sports with drafting, something that stood out to you?
You know, I think from a positive standpoint, it wasn't the rush to get quarterbacks, you know, despite having a lot of big names at the top. You know, the first two guys still went early in Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson. It's hard to tell people to get out of that mindset when you see, you know, the guy that just won the Super Bowl MVP and is a year removed from 5,050, and then Lamar Jackson, when, you know, some people are saying, well, I'm getting a quarterback and a running back because he just had 1,000 yards rushing. No, you're getting one player, so just have to take that into account. But it's hard to get people away from, you know, chasing those guys. But I was pleasantly surprised that there wasn't the rush to get that next group of guys early of Prescott, Watson, Russell Wilson, and Kyler Murray. You know, those guys fell past round three. You know, they still went early, a little too early for my liking. But, you know, it's the fact that those guys didn't go in the first two rounds was a little bit encouraging.
So You haven't mentioned the Raiders, and apparently there are fans of this team. Is there any value to them, either offensively or defensively, in fantasy? Or should you just tell them, just enjoy them as an NFL team and don't look for anything in terms of helping you in terms of a fantasy team?
No, the Raiders are a very good, a team to find, destination for fantasy options. Josh Jacobs is one of my favorite players this year, one of my favorite, running backs to draft. I think he's a first-round pick if you're still doing your drafts, and that's even in, leagues where you get a point per catch because, he says he wants 60 catches. I think if he can get anywhere close to 40 and above, he's going to be in the conversation for a top-five guy because he was on pace last year to be top four in carries, top three in rushing yards. He would have been right there with Derrick Henry and Nick Chubb. So it's an underrated offensive line, and I think he's going to be fantastic. I like the young receivers a lot. Henry Ruggs, I think, is going to be fun, depending if the Raiders use him the right way. Brian Edwards is a guy, to tie back in your first question, George, if Edwards is available, that's a guy I go look for also. I should have mentioned him. I apologize. And then Hunter Renfrow benefits because of Tyrell Williams being out because now he can slide back into being the slot guy as opposed to maybe being the fourth receiver. So I like all three of those guys. And then we saw last year Darren Waller was a star. So he's still a top-five tight end. So a lot of good fantasy options for the Raiders. And if you're looking at it, for those of you that like to play DFS, whatever site you choose, they're a great play this week because that Panthers defense is bad. And so the Raiders, I think, get off to a good start. How often do we see the Raiders as a road favorite in week one? It doesn't happen very often, but they're going to, have a chance to beat the Panthers this week.
One more question for you, Jamie Eisenberg, CBS Sports Fantasy Football Expert. You and I play in a fantasy league against each other. I play in another league where you don't play, so I'm going to ask you advice on that league. I have one flex position available, and my two best options are Zach Moss, the rookie running back from the Buffalo Bills, who probably will be the short yardage red zone guy, or Hunter Henry, the tight end for the LA Chargers. Which one would you go with?
Is it non-PPR or PPR?
Non-PPR, traditional.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Yeah, I would probably go Zach Moss there. I like both guys a lot. I think we're going to see, especially with Mike Williams banged up, the secondary for the Bengals is a mess, so Hunter Henry should have an opportunity for a good game. But I think the Bills really like Zach Moss. And, we'll see. The strength of the Jets' defense right now is still their run defense with Quinton Williams and the guys they have up front. But I do think that the Bills are going to be playing with the league. So Moss, to me, is somebody that has really sneaky upside. We'll see what they do with Devin Singletary, how those guys operate. But I give a slight lean toward Moss just in the fact that you're playing in a non-PPR league. I will say, though, George was very poor draft etiquette because we were doing our draft while you were doing your other draft, and you start asking me about players that haven't been drafted yet. And, of course, I'm going to be the nice guy and answer your questions. But, now everybody's like, oh, this guy's somebody I should keep an eye on. I had to take Chase Edmonds like three rounds before I wanted to because we were talking about him well before the draft started.
Well, sorry. You should have just told me to can it, and that's it. You could have you could have said, I'll text you, and that would have been easier. We did it on Zoom. There was that. Jamie Eisenberg, friend of the program, CBS Sports Fantasy Football Expert, and clearly a lot more patient with me than most people. Appreciate it, brother. Thank you so much for the time. We'll talk soon.
Take care, buddy.
All right, see ya. There he is, Jamie Eisenberg. All right, coming up next, LZ. Actually, you want us to stay here to see how this game ends? There's only 11 seconds left.
Well, I'm still scratching my head that you were cheating in fantasy football.
I was not cheating. I was asking.
It sounds like cheating.
No, I was asking the fantasy football expert about my other league that he is not in.
While you're in a draft with your fantasy football expert.
Correct, but a separate draft.
But
I was doing both drafts at the same time.
But it sounds as if you were taking information that he had given you and then still used it in turn with the draft that you were
playing. No, I did not. I did not. I didn't take the Chase Edmonds guy from Arizona that he wanted me to take. I took him in the other draft.
I'm going to contact Bob Woodward and see if there's any audio of this.
There is a Zoom call. I don't know if it was recorded.
Okay.
So there is 5 seconds left. Let's just stay here. Can we stay here, Laura?
Yeah, go ahead.
Greg? Okay. Yeah, there's 5 seconds left. Norman Powell, UCLA's own, is trying to ice this game. And he gives the Toronto Raptors a 3-point lead, 125 to 122. I will not give play-by-play, Greg, because I will not get you in trouble. But
thank
I will
you.
Tell you that Jason Tatum is inbounding the ball with a deep pass, Christian Laettner style, to Marcus Smart, who missed a three. And there is now half a second remaining, Toronto ball. And it looks like will be headed to a game seven.
What did you
Rajon Rondo's not coming through that door, Boston.
What did you say, Greg?
I was saying, LZ, what did you call it? It was step-by-step. It wasn't play-by-play.
Yeah, step-by-step.
Correct.
Yeah. Right.
Correct. And I did give it a few seconds to breathe. It wasn't like I was literally doing it at the exact moment. So there you have it.
So let me get this straight. Mm-hmm. There's 5 seconds left. And they throw the pass to who?
To Marcus Smart.
And how many points were they down?
Three.
And so he needed to shoot a what?
A three.
Brad Stevens should be fired.
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, Marcus Smart just hit a monster three for them just a minute ago.
Bruh. Come on. Come on,
Well, he was actually stepping on the line, too, so it wouldn't have been three anyway.
Come on, George. Out of all your options, the only thing that's worse than this, the only thing that would have been worse than that option was what that mess that they pulled. What was it? Was it Toronto?
I bet you if I had to guess, Brad Stevens called that play, and there should have been almost like a hook and ladder type play.
Yeah, to Kemba.
To someone else trailing the pass to then shoot a wide open three. If I had to guess, somebody missed their assignment there.
It looked as if it was supposed to have been swung over to Kemba.
Right.
It was slightly trailing and would have been shooting a wide open three. But Marcus said, I got this, coach.
Right. He pulled a Leroy Jenkins.
I got this. And I remember the play now. It was actually Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
Against the Houston Rockets.
Mm-hmm.
And they were down, I guess, three or whatever. And they threw the ball in with like 2 seconds left to Steven Adams right at the three-point line. And I was like, so what did you think was going to happen if Steven caught that ball?
Yeah. By the way, you see Nick Nurse and Kyle Lowry going at it because Nick Nurse wants to call a timeout with half a second to make sure they get the inbound in properly. And Kyle is yelling at him, no, no, no. And Nick basically told, God bleeping darn it. You better
go to your
call
room.
Time out.
He said, go to your room.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. There was like real like angst there between the two.
I'm still mad.
Yeah. Well, I don't think Nick cares.
No, of course
not. By the
way,
the Clippers are destroying the Nuggets right now, 24-9 in the first quarter.
So I'm assuming Jamal Murray hasn't scored a point yet.
Might not be the case.
Yeah, let me see.
I told you earlier today when we were talking, I thought the Clippers would beat them up tonight.
I get the feeling, and I don't know if you feel this way, that the Lakers and Clippers are always one-upping each other in the bubble.
Yeah.
You know, it's like Kawhi gets the big blocks, LeBron goes out and get 4.25, and like, what?
Yeah. 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 All right. It looks like this is over.
Wait,
no? It's over. All right, we're done. So Toronto forces a game seven after a double overtime win there. All right, we're going to take a break. We're back in 90 seconds. LZ and I are going to make our NFL predictions for this season. We're going to do that because the first game is tomorrow, and we won't be on tomorrow, LZ, because of the Laker game. So we got to knock those out. We're going to predict the seven playoff teams in each conference. Ooh, it looks like there's going to be a scrap here between Marcus Smart and Norman Powell at the end of this game. They're pulling them apart. Uh-oh. Marcus still talking to UCLA zone. What do you say about that, Greg Bergman? Oklahoma State versus UCLA.
I'm taking the UCLA guy. Go Bruins.
Yeah. All right.
I want to see. Yeah. I want to see definitely Fred VanVleet versus Marcus Smart. That's the fight I want.
All right, we got a break for traffic. I forgot poor Karen Kay's been sitting there for 7 minutes yelling, probably telling me to get the hell off the air. Karen Kay, I'm sorry.
No. I enjoyed the step-by-step. That was awesome. Good step-by-step. That was really cool.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Sedano and LZ with you here on 710 ESPN. Final segment. We got LAFC coming up. Who's LAFC playing tonight?
Real Salt Lake.
Ah, Real Salt Lake.
So
the
salty.
Racist owner team.
No, he's putting the team up for sale.
Oh, he's selling it?
Yeah, he's de-racifying it.
Clippers leading big, 16 points, 26 to 10. Good Lord, Denver scored 10 points in the first quarter?
They're very predictable offense, man.
Man.
It's 12.
It's now 12 because Michael Porter Jr. hit a shot. There you go. All right, 12 in the first. Still not good, Bob.
Nope.
Yeah.
Not good at all.
Yeah. So anyway, LZ, before we move on, and you guys tell me when I have the break because I have no idea when we don't have crosstalk what you want me to do. But LZ, before we get into our NFL predictions, and Laura, if you can find me some NFL music, that would be great. Would you like to take a guess? The Daily Meal, you know I love that site. Mm-hmm. The Daily Meal has a list of the most grilled recipes in every state. The most top searched grilling recipes in every state. Would you like to guess what California's was?
Burgers.
No, definitely not.
All right.
I'll let you take one more guess.
Then my second choice would be chicken wings.
That would also be incorrect. Greg, would you want to take a guess?
Hot dogs.
Nope, that's incorrect. Laura.
Okay, should I tell you the real answer or should I just make it? Okay, I'll just tell you the real answer. It was salmon.
Yeah, salmon.
I'm disappointed in California.
What?
I mean, salmon is delicious.
I mean, it is good, mm-hmm. But come on now.
Wait, hold up. The number one grilled meat is salmon?
Yeah, in California.
It's not even considered a meat. It's poultry.
It's, well, no, it's fish. But it's, it's the top search grilling recipes in every state. So it could be anything. For example, like, I'll give you an example. Alabama, take a guess, LZ.
Alabama.
On the grill.
On the I'm going to go with ribs.
Pork chops, you're close. You're all not right. That far away. Alaska.
Salmon?
Lamb chops, but that was a good guess.
Wait, lambs in Alaska?
They got lambs.
I don't know anything about geography. Keep going.
Now, this one, I don't know if I buy. Arkansas.
I'm going to say raccoon.
He said raccoon.
You guys have never eaten coon before?
No, never.
Oh, man.
Never that's did it cross my mind to eat a raccoon.
That's a southern thing. I've had so much raccoon, I'm surprised I don't have a little bushy tail.
It's actually grilled asparagus, which I don't believe.
Okay, that's garbage.
Yeah. I don't believe in Arkansas garbage. They're having grilled asparagus. No, they're Colorado. Having, now, this one makes more sense.
Colorado.
Vegetable.
Bison burgers.
Vegetable.
Oh, vegetable? Is it also asparagus?
Zucchini.
Why does that make more sense?
I don't understand this country.
Well, Colorado, you know. It's
why are you looking up a zucchini recipe for the grill?
Yeah, I don't know either, but anyway.
Hold on.
But,
why does it make sense to have zucchini in Colorado?
Because there's healthy people there. People hike. People do stuff. Mm-hmm. It's a very healthy state.
Yeah. We're healthy in California.
Right.
I know. But salmon is also healthy.
Should have been carne asada. I'm very disappointed.
You know what? I was going to say carne asada, but I don't think there's enough of it being grilled up north.
In Northern California?
Yeah.
Oh, I think so.
Yeah.
There's plenty of Mexicanos, man, in Northern California.
I didn't say it wasn't. I just said I didn't think it was enough people grilling their carne asada up there.
Well, see, I know this because
the weather situation, you know?
I just recently saw one of those Guy Fieri shows that he was doing a tailgate thing. And he's a big Raiders fan. He went to a Raiders game pre-pandemic, obviously. And there was a lot of carne asada there on the grill. Carne asada.
That surprises me. Almost as much as you guys laughing at the idea that people eat barbecue raccoons.
Yeah. Laura, give me my NFL music back. LZ,
yes, sir.
It is time for our NFL predictions. Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Who will win the NFC West?
The Niners.
Okay. Okay. I agree that the Niners will also win the NFC West. Who will win the NFC East?
This one gets tricky because no team ever wants to win it. So
yeah, it really does feel that way.
I'm going to go with the Cowboys.
Me too. Begrudgingly.
You heard it in my voice, right?
Yes, like, begrudgingly. But like, I am with you. Begrudgingly, I'm also picking the Cowboys. Mostly because I trust their wide receiving core more than I trust the Eagles. That's pretty much what it boils down to. NFC North. This one's tough, actually.
It's not tough for me. I'm going to go with the Packers.
See, I would have gone with the Vikings, but they lost one of their best pass rushers today. I don't want to bet against Aaron, man.
I didn't. That's
yeah,
how I'm, like,
I'm not. I'm with you. Okay. NFC South. Now we're talking.
Now this is tough. Let's see. I am going to go with the Saints.
I'm going to go with Tommy Terrific and the Bucks.
All right.
I'm going to go with Tommy Terrific and the Bucks.
You're going with the hype.
Wild card. Three teams in the NFC. Who are your three wild card teams?
Seahawks.
Mm-hmm.
Rams,
mm-hmm.
Bucks.
I have Rams.
Uh-huh.
I have Vikings. Uh-huh. And I have Saints. Those are my three wild cards.
Ooh, no Seahawks, huh?
No Seahawks.
Wow.
No Seahawks this year.
Don't let Key hear you say that.
Okay. I know. He loves them. All right. AFC East, who wins?
AFC East, I'm going with the Patriots.
Ooh, I'm going with the Bills. AFC North.
AFC North, I'm going with the Ravens.
Me too. AFC South.
South, I'm going to go with the rich guy down there in Texas.
Yeah, Houston Texans. I'm with you on that, even though that division stinks. AFC West.
This was tricky. I'm going to go with the Chargers. I believe in Coach Lynn.
What? No.
Coach Lynn.
I'm going with the Chiefs. Who are your three wildcard teams?
Chiefs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Colts.
Okay.
And Steelers.
Okay, I've got Steelers, I've got Chargers, and I've got the Titans. Those are my three. All right, we're done here. LZ, excellent work as always. Thanks to Greg, thanks to Laura, thanks to Ramona, thanks to Jamie Eisenberg, and thanks to Aqib Tlaib. LAFC is up next. Have a great night. We'll talk to you on Friday.